Those are the words of Psalm 121. May God be honored with the reading of his word, and may he help those words mingle into our hearts and our minds. Psalm 121, verse 8 is where we'll be today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 121. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in front of you. You can turn to page 558, and we'll also have the words on the screen today. Psalm 121, verse 8. But before we look in the scriptures, let's take a moment and let's pray together. Father, thank you for just the reality of what we heard sung a moment ago, that Jesus is the fairest. There is absolutely no one like him. And knowing him, truly knowing him, really makes him our all and our best, our joy and our righteousness. So would you increase his greatness in our hearts and minds today? Whatever it is that we are individually struggling with, would you help Jesus be greater and fairer and purer and higher in our hearts and minds today? In his great name we pray. Amen. So have you ever had trouble with a door? Ever had any trouble with a door? You know, like there's a huge sign on the door that says pull, but I mean, you're pushing like you're training to be an Olympic bobsledder. I mean, you're just pushing and pushing and pushing. Or maybe your problem with the door is that you went to your friend's Festivus party and you got to the house and you go up and you ring the doorbell and you put your face in the camera and you're yelling, "Welcome, newcomers!" And then all of a sudden you hear a voice from the other side that says, "Wrong house." Yeah, that's a problem with the door. Or maybe you're in one of those restaurants that no longer just puts men and women signs on the door. You know, you got to get out Google Translate to try to figure out, you know, which words are which, or maybe figure out by the pictures on the door what kind of animal or mythical creature or what kind of cowpoke you are to actually make sure you get in the right bathroom. That's a problem with the door. Years ago, I had someone tell me they were at a mall in Raleigh, and they walked up and saw a young woman trying to get into her car, but the keyless remote wasn't working. And he and his wife said, you know, "We're just, you know, fiddling with that thing, just trying to figure out." And she's kind of anxious, can't get in the car. And he said, "Finally, we thought, you know what? There is a key on the other end of this keyless remote that actually would open the door." So they used the key and helped her get in the car. Technology is great, right? But it throws us off. I guess you could say as they were standing there, they probably felt a little dorky. That's a good one. Most of us have had a problem with a door. You know, we've had a problem entering or exiting somewhere at least once in life. But what if there was a way that no matter what door we were going through, we could know without any shadow of a doubt that we're always safe, always protected, and everything is always well? We finish up our series called Summer Shade, where we have been walking through Psalm 121. And what we've been trying to do is get some shade from the heat and the exhaustion and the frustration and the discouragement that comes from trials and troubles and tragedies in life. Our message today is called Summer Forever. And we close out with verse 9 today, and the psalmist says this in Psalm 121, verse 8. "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in." Dear Christian, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent, never-changing, eternal God, will guard and protect your going out and your coming in. What does that mean? It means that every single part of the Christian's life is always under the protection of God. In John 10, verse 28, Jesus said this, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus of Nazareth, by the testimonies of men and women who loved him, by the testimonies of men and women who hated him, by the testimonies of men and women who didn't care about him one way or the other, by those testimonies, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on a cross outside of Jerusalem one Friday. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave alive again. And the same Jesus who died and conquered death, the same risen Jesus who is still alive, has made a promise and guaranteed that promise with his resurrection, that all who are believing in and relying on and trusting in and clinging to him as their ultimate hope in life and especially in death will never truly perish because he has them in his hands. This is the promise from Jesus, that the soul of a Christian is in the hands of Jesus, and no one and nothing can snatch that soul away from Jesus. But wait, there's more. Jesus continues, verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. If you're a Christian, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the conqueror of death, by his own words, through his own resurrection power, has your soul in his hands. And the Lord of hosts, Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent, never-changing, eternal God, has his hands around the hands of Jesus. Dear friend, that is protection. That is safety. Does that mean we'll never have any problems in life, that everything will be great? No. There is no promise in salvation in Jesus Christ that says that we will escape all the trials and troubles and tragedies of life. But when those things come, and they will come, when they come, saving faith in Jesus Christ is designed to increase. Our saving faith in Christ is designed to help us from the inside out to soar, knowing that we can't be snatched out of the hands of Jesus, which are surrounded by the almighty hands of God. But we don't always feel that way, do we? We don't always feel like we're protected. We don't always feel like we're safe. We don't always feel like our faith is increasing and we're soaring, right? Doesn't always feel that way. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Our growing sense of weakness makes us feel more deeply than ever our need of being kept." In other words, it's those moments when we don't feel our faith soaring and increasing. It's those moments of weakness that actually help us to see how much we need to be kept. Maybe more so than America, than any other place in the world, the concept of weakness is always seen as bad, but not for the Christian. For the Christian, the concept of weakness is tremendously wonderful. How? Apostle Paul was writing to the folks at Corinth. He said this, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Therefore, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties. Poor guy, somebody knocked him in the head, right? In the world. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties. None of us would vote for this guy. None of us would hire this guy to be our pastor. None of us would want this guy to coach our team. This is crazy talk. I will delight in my weaknesses. I will delight in insults and difficulties. Notice what he says next. In behalf of Christ. In other words, when these things come into my life because I am following after Jesus Christ, he says what? For when I am weak, then I am strong. My father was one of the strongest men I've ever known. My mother might have been stronger than my father. But I was with both of them in the last hour of their lives. And all they were was weak, completely helpless. But in the weakest moment of their lives, because long ago they discovered they needed to be kept. In other words, their real weakness happened decades ago, when they discovered they needed to be kept. So because they discovered their need for saving faith, when I looked in that last hour at my parents, I saw no weakness. I saw only strength, because they were being held in the hands of Jesus, surrounded by the hands of Almighty God. In our weakness, we are strong because we remember we must be kept. Spurgeon went on to say this: none are so safe as those whom God keeps. None so much in danger as the self-secure. So just simple question for our hearts individually here. Are you safe or are you in danger? Are you safe? Are you being kept by God because you actually truly are believing in and trusting in and relying on and clinging to Jesus as your hope in life and death and salvation through him as your greatest hope? Or are you in danger? Because in the deepest part of who you are, the part that really defines you, your safety and your security are more wrapped up in what you own, or in how much money you have, or in how much money you are saving, or in how healthy you are, or in how good your doctors are. None are so safe as those whom God keeps. None so much in danger as the self-secure. See, the greatest security in the universe, the greatest safety in the universe, is knowing that when you breathe your last breath and wake up on the other side of death, you will hear the words, "Welcome home." Not are you at church today, not did you grow up in church, not do you believe that God is real, but is your ultimate faith in Jesus Christ? If not, according to all that Jesus said and according to the totality of the Bible, the only thing ahead is danger. So we would plead with you, turn to Jesus today. Embrace and enjoy what it means to be safe, what it means to be protected, what it means to be guarded, what it means to be kept in the hands of Jesus, surrounded by the hands of Almighty God. And how long will they hold us? How long will they keep us? How long will they protect us? How long will they guard us? Look at the next part of verse 8. From this time and forever. There's no end to the protection of God. All of your exits, all of your entrances, they're all covered. Every single part of the Christian's life is under the protection of God. And this is especially true when it comes to the last exit. When he was about 40 years old, Isaac Watts wrote a song. And part of the reason he wrote the song was to encourage Christians around him, because the country was full of political and social and religious turmoil. We don't know anything about that, right? So 300 years ago, when there was social and political and religious turmoil all over the country, Watts wrote down a song to encourage believers. Here's part of what he wrote. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Generation after generation after generation after generation, God has proved himself over and over and over again in the past. And he will guard and keep and protect our souls while troubles last on this earth, and troubles will last on this earth. And then we will exit this earth. And God will then go from being the protector to being our everlasting host and our everlasting home. We will then never truly be out of his hands. We will never be outside of his love. We will never be outside of the loving hands of the one who established the universe. Those are good hands. The psalmist was experiencing whatever troubles were unique to life 3,000 years ago. And in the middle of his troubles, he said, hey, wait a minute, I need to remind my heart, God is going to keep me. From this time right now in 979 BC, God's going to keep me right now, and he's going to keep me forever, and then he's going to keep me forever and ever and ever. The hands of Jesus surrounded by the hands of God, and let us not omit or forget the hands of the Holy Spirit. The full work of what is known as the Trinity is always active in the life of a believer. God the Father is at work, God the Son is at work, and God the Holy Spirit is at work. Not long before he was arrested, Jesus was talking to his closest friends, and this is what he said about the Holy Spirit, John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper so that he may be with you forever. From this time, right now, July 26, 2026, from this time and forever, for the believer, the Holy Spirit will keep and guard and protect you. The Holy Spirit is not a force or an influence or an attitude. The Holy Spirit is a person. God, the Holy Spirit, is a person, and Jesus calls him the helper. Well, how does he help? Well, he helps the exact same way that Jesus helped. The Holy Spirit helps people get rescued. He helps people come to God, and then he stays with them. How long? Jesus said, forever. From this time, whenever that moment happens that the heart is captured by the gospel and saving faith comes into a heart where repentance and reception happens of the gospel, from that time and forever, from that time all the way up to forever, and then forever and ever, we have the always energized, never-ending help of the Holy Spirit. Just think of how incredible that is. See, right now, I do not have to go to Israel to be close to God. I don't have to go to a sacred spot in the Middle East. For that matter, I don't have to go to a sacred spot here. I can be anywhere, at any time, at any place, and the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of me from this time to forever, and then forever and ever and ever. I am never away from God. And the helper, he's not temporary help. He's permanent help. He never leaves. He takes up residence in a believer's heart, in a believer's mind. He is with us from this time and forever. Just think of the weight of that. Think of whatever it is right now that gives you some sense of comfort. I had a situation where we got logged out of one of the accounts that I'm executor of over with my family. And, you know, when you get logged out of an account, you can't access it. It's unsettling, you know? And I was like, I kind of need access to that thing. And so I'm having to jump through some hoops to figure out what needs to happen. But you know, it's also just a very, very good, helpful reminder. Hey, Dow, those things are going to happen in life, and you need to remember you're kept. Dow, you need to remember to feel the weight in the biggest trouble in life. And sometimes I'm able to do this, and sometimes I'm not. In the biggest weight of life, you need to feel the bigger weight that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are guarding and keeping you. That's a thing. That's something to dwell on. That is serious protection. This is not random religion we are talking about. This is a redeeming relationship with the one true God of the universe. In 1908, Donald Sage McKay was on a train heading to Maine to be with his wife and his kids. At 6 o'clock that morning on the train, he died. He was only 44 years old. Sometime before that, he was writing about this concept of God protecting us going in and going out. And he said, it's almost like we need to think of when we leave in the morning and when we come home at night, we almost need to think as we walk through that door, I'm exiting, I'm going out, and when I come in, I'm still going to be under the protection of God. God is still going to be guarding me. He's still going to be looking after me. No matter what door we go through on any given day. And what impact could that have on us during the day? Not just when we leave the house in the morning. What about any door that we go through? And maybe we won't remember it constantly, but what if any door we went through the day, we just kind of reminded ourselves of what it meant to be kept by God? How would that impact our day? McKay said there's three ways. One, it will redeem the monotony of the day and will sweeten its drudgery. It's pretty good. Because I'm imagining every now and then we have a monotonous day, or we have a day that we feel like is full of drudgery. So there's something about being kept by God that as we go through all the doors that we go through during the day, it increases our faith. It helps us soar some. Secondly, he said this, it will make us ready for the unexpected things in life. You imagine every door you go through, especially the ones you don't want to go through, that reminder that we are kept by God, that he is protecting and guarding us from this time and forever. Third, McKay said this, it will hallow our evenings and sanctify our moments of rest. In other words, it will just help us as we go through that door on the weekend or at the end of the day or at the end of a vacation. When we go through that door, we are reminded, wait a minute, God is still holy, holy, holy. And he is my God from this time and forever. What are you stressed out about the most in life right now? Just going to give you a second, just to chew on that for a second. What is it right now in life that has you stressed out the most? Do you think any of those things could help? Redeeming the monotony of the day, sweeten the drudgery of the day, making us ready for unexpected things, hallowing our evening, sanctifying our rest. Do you think any of those things that are all captured in being kept and protected and guarded by God, do you think any of those things could help? How is it that the reality of the one true God of the universe keeping and guarding you, how would it help? When my kids were young, I don't remember how long we had this sign up. And if, if they don't remember, it really had an impact. I remember putting a sign above the door. The Notre Dame football team, they have a sign above the door as they go on the field that says, play like champions, you know. And so I put a sign on the door that says, do all, meaning do all to the glory of God. As we leave today, come on, let's hit the sign. Woo! Yeah. But you know, what if you had a sign over the door that just said kept? I mean, every day you just hit that sign and you walk out and you're like, man, I have to remember today that the Lord is guarding my going out and my coming in. From this time to forever. Now we are tempted to go, man, forever sounds great, but I need help today. Let me just give you a quick story that I hope will help us toward forever. Richard was 6 months old when his parents realized that he was deaf, 100% deaf. Richard's married now. He's got 5 kids. He was at work some years ago, and a fire had broke out in the office, and he was in the bathroom. So, of course, he couldn't hear the fire alarm. Everybody had exited. He wasn't accounted for. He came out, didn't see anybody around, didn't know what was going on, just went back to his desk and started working. And after a while, some firemen busted in and pulled him out and rescued him. So he 100% deaf. But Richard Platt is floating around on social media this week because of something that he said. And basically he said this. He said, God has not healed me yet. And he said, but he will. And he said in his mind, the moment that he will be healed is when he gets to heaven. And he says, the first sound I will hear is the voice of God. And he will call me Richard. See, forever is not just something when the best beach vacation is over. Forever is what matters the most. Doesn't mean today doesn't matter. It does. And we should do all today for the glory of God. But forever with God is ultimately what matters most. And his voice is the voice we will want to hear the most. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time and forever until there's only one more door. None are so safe as those that God keeps for that door. So, stay safe. Stay safe. Stay safe in Him.